Hello, thank you for tuning in to Southern Living Magazine, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Angela Odi, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the May 2019 issue of Southern Living. Please enjoy. From the Travel and Culture section, Music City Soul. A lot can happen in a year. Nashville's latest and greatest hits prove it, by Jennifer Justice. It's hard to talk about Nashville and not mention the past. The family-owned Meat and Threes and hot chicken joints that date back decades, the honky-tonks, Hatch Show Print, and the Grand Ole Opry. These are the places that give the city its soul, with music and history oozing out of their walls. But the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corp says 133 restaurants and bars opened in 2018. That's up from only 113 that opened here in 2017. More than 2,000 new hotel rooms welcomed guests, with over 3,000 more scheduled in 2019. Nashville still sits in a blazing hot ring of fire. With so many spots popping up, it's hard to see them all. So we've included the area's newer places that aim to keep Music City unique by adding something with meaning rather than just chasing what lies at the end of the neon rainbow. Dining and drinking. Slim and Husky's Pizza Birria. The three entrepreneurs behind Slim and Husky's Pizza Birria grew up in Nashville and are longtime friends, one Slim and two Husky. Some good-natured ribbing inspired the name of their business, and community influenced their vision, as the pizza joint welcomes an eclectic clientele to help revitalize its North Nashville neighborhood. Unconventionally shaped pies, oblong discs of house-made dough, get smeared generously with sauces and piled with fresh local ingredients. Customization is encouraged, too, with a buffet-style line of toppings. While the partners have been expanding their empire, the original location, a small box of white painted brick and ductwork with communal tables and local beers on tap, remains a favorite. As guests wait, a playlist ranging from Outkast to Salt-N-Pepa keeps heads bobbing. Pearl Diver. With a splash of neon to light up a formerly dull bit of East Nashville's Gallatin Avenue, Pearl Diver beckons as a place to escape. Four industry pros with lots of experience and roots in this city were inspired by Ama, Japanese divers who look for pearls, and the decor takes you on a deep dive too, with a lighting scheme and green and blue hues reminiscent of the fantasy film The Shape of Water. Palm frond wallpaper, seafoam booths, and coral stools lead the way to the bar for such drinks as a classic daiquiri with rum, pressed sugarcane, and lime. Or head to the colorfully enclosed patio with a Mai Tai or the Devil's Flower made with Altos Tequila Plata, fresh juiced cactus, kiwi, Ancho Reyes Verde, a poblano chili liqueur, and lime. Lyra. Chef Grant Arcalian and Elizabeth Endicott, a husband and wife duo, paid their dues for many years by working around town as a chef and cocktail creator. Last year, the couple owned a space of their own, an homage to Arcalian's Middle Eastern family roots in Lebanon. While the restaurant has a sleek, airy, and hip environment, the food here is straight comfort. Drag fresh pita bread through a rich, lemon-scented moat circling roast chicken. Scoop up delicious baba ganoush from a whole roasted eggplant with creamy tahini and red onion dusted with Aleppo pepper. The house-made bread, which is baked in a glowing, tiled, wood-fired oven, nods to Nashville's Kurdish community, the largest in the United States. It all makes Lyra the kind of place where you'll feel transported, yet right at home. Folk. Chef Philip Krajek made his mark in Music City back in 2012 with Rolf and Daughters, which remains a favorite for locals and visitors alike. Then, in 2018, he gave the area another gem, Folk. Located in growing East Nashville, this place turns out fresh configurations of seasonal ingredients in a space that feels equally fresh and light, with its paper lantern globes, exposed brick wall, and humming open kitchen. The wood-fired pizzas, with their patches of charred edges, sometimes arrive piled with local produce or umami flavors, such as the clam pie with bonito, chili, lemon, and parsley. Chattable. You might expect Maneen Chahan, one of the city's brightest food stars with her television appearances, books, and restaurants, to be too famous to actually spend time in Nashville, but she can be spotted regularly in the kitchen or contributing to Brown in the South dinners, and she even gave a commencement address at Middle Tennessee State University. Her latest venture, Chattable, opened with husband Vivek Diora, is dedicated to the street food of India and nostalgic flavors from their upbringings there. Playful names for menu items include OMG, a tasty snack of G-toasted cashews with curry leaves and chaat masala. There are plenty of main dishes like curry on, pork belly flavored with cinnamon clove and the tang of malt vinegar. The space, chock full of jewel tones and patterns, feels just as vibrant and high energy as Chan's personality. Taylor Nashville. In late 2018, Nashville native and supper club maestro Vivek Surti put down roots in a brick-and-mortar space that seats about 40 people in a cozy Germantown nook. He has maintained an intimate atmosphere, even under a massive 7-foot crystal chandelier that he found in his parents' garage. Surti, a first-generation son of immigrants, serves food that feels like home cooking. In other words, his grandmother's own recipes, which he explains through stories between courses. Choose from 2 seating times, 4 nights a week, starting at $60 per person. The Green Pheasant. Co-chef Jess Benefield grew up in Nashville, but takes her inspiration from Japan. She made her mark with husband and co-chef Trey Burnett at popular 210 Jack. The Green Pheasant is the couple's latest concept, bringing an elegant dining space downtown with its lush velvet and golden and teal tones, along with many Japanese culinary traditions and local produce. For lunch, order a Tishoku set, a meal combo, which might include tonkatsu, pork cutlet, with miso soup, tsukamono, pickled vegetables, rice, and a daily side. The dinner menu is divided into cold and hot dishes, from tuna tartare to wok-fried Tennessee trout. Happenings. Outdoor concerts. Much has been made of Nashville's honky-tonks and hallowed music halls like the Ryman Auditorium. And if you have the chance to see any show at the Ryman, go. But in recent years, the area has amped up its outdoor venues, providing opportunities to soak up the songs amid the city's natural beauty. Musicians' Corner hosts concerts featuring local artists in Centennial Park, for example. At Ascend Amphitheater, guests can spread blankets on the lawn beside the Cumberland River and sit before a stage backlit by the skyline. Art events. Nashville is bursting with talent. Visit the First Bank First Saturday Art Crawl downtown, the East Side Stumble, and Arts and Music at Wedgwood, Houston. The Jefferson Street Art Crawl highlights the heart of historically black North Nashville, where Jimi Hendrix played blues clubs before construction of I-40 displaced residents and forced businesses to close. Shopping. The local boutique scene has been thriving and growing, due in part to the Nashville Fashion Alliance, NFA. With the NFA as your guide, visit designers like Black by Maria Silver, who moonlights as a drummer, in East Nashville's The Idea Hatchery, a collection of tiny stores with lower rents to help incubate new businesses. Or check out shops like Emile Irwin for luxury leather goods or Otis James for caps and neckties along Buchanan Street. Distinctive hotels. Noel, a powerhouse group of local creatives, helped spiff up this property in historic Printer's Alley while also remaining mindful of its history. A 1930s hotel formerly owned by the Noel family, it has an Art Deco era grandness with hues of gold and rose in the lobby's trade room bar and gathering space. Nashville architect Nick Dryden left his mark there and throughout the building, while coffee aficionado Andy Mama, the owner of Barista Parlor, opened drugstore coffee in the lobby across from Libby Calloway's carefully curated Keep Shop. Nashville's Bryce McLeod organized the space's eclectic artwork and Little Prince, a letterpress shop paying homage to the area's printmaking past. Be sure to stop by the rooftop bar, Rare Bird. Thompson Nashville. The Thompson Nashville sprang up in the Gulch, a formerly industrial-looking topographical depression that housed a rail yard. Although the hotel is part of an international group, it has a distinctive flair, adding low-key but modern comfort that makes sense in this city. Visit the rooftop bar with its sweeping views, and don't miss some of the tastiest biscuits and croissant in town from pastry chef Lisa Marie White on the ground floor at Killebrew Coffee Shop. 21C Museum Hotel Nashville. This hotel and art gallery sits near the rowdy clubs of Lower Broadway and the speakeasies of Printer's Alley. That juxtaposition is emblematic of the city's diverse makeup, which can get lost if you linger in the tourist traps. Instead, locals venture to spots like in-house restaurant Gray and Dudley, helmed by chef Rob Newton, whose edible art is yet another reminder that Nashville's creativity goes far beyond music. The House That Mama Built. Mama Dip's cooking legacy lives on through her daughters and granddaughters. By Kathleen Purvis. Mildred Council may have been known to the world by her childhood nickname, Dip, inspired by her long arms, but her reach has been so much longer. A year after her death, at age 89, her children, grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren still work at the restaurant she built, Mama Dip's Kitchen in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And the Council family food businesses, all started with her encouragement and passion, are likely to continue on for years to come. One granddaughter sells biscuits that are so good, she named her business Bomb Biscuits. Another granddaughter makes crispy baked meringue cookies that shatter on your tongue with a lingering sweetness. One daughter creates cake mixes that bake into red velvet or pound cake. More daughters and two sons run the restaurant and sell the Mama Dip's product line, salad dressing, barbecue sauces, and cornbread mix. It's a lot of history there, right? Says Erica Council, one of Mildred's granddaughters, who works in software engineering in Atlanta and serves her bomb biscuits at pop-ups at restaurants like Bee's, Cracklin' Barbecue, and at special events. One thing we all say on the council side is that it's definitely in our blood, she adds. The popular story of Mildred Council and her renowned restaurant, Mama Dip's, is that she started it on a meager $64 set aside from what she earned as a cook and maid at Chapel Hill's wealthy homes and fraternity houses. And that's true. The food story goes back a lot further, though. The youngest daughter of seven children, Mildred Dip Cotton, was such a good cook that her father let her take over the role at age 9 after her mother died. Then in 1947, she married Joe Council, whose family started a small restaurant, Bill's Barbecue. Mildred quickly found a place in the Council family restaurant, developing her recipe for fried chicken and working alongside Joe. Before they divorced in the 1970s, they had 8 children, Norma, Geary, called Yeye, Joe, Julia, who's known as Bon, William, Sandra, Lane, Annette, Nisi, and Anita, Spring. Yes, nicknames are a tradition in this family. Food was at the center of their childhood, helping at bills, driving their father's food truck around to construction sites, and hanging out in the kitchen, elbows on the table, while their mother worked and talked. People cooked back then, says her youngest daughter, Anita Council, who runs the restaurant with her sisters Annette and Sandra and her brothers Yeye and Joe. That's where the food really started for us. Anita was 12 when she began helping behind the counter at Bill's Barbecue, cooking burgers and hot dogs and learning to add figures in her head quickly. As a girl, she always had pocket money, but it didn't mean she got to spend her time having fun with it. Work always came first in the Council family. All of the children and grandchildren have memories of Mildred keeping busy. Anita's daughter, Tanya Council, remembers that even sitting in front of the TV at night, her grandmother would shell pecans for the next day's pies. Tanya began waitressing at her grandmother's original restaurant, Dip's Country Kitchen, when she was 15 or 16, but her time there started a lot earlier. I know I was in the way when I was 4, 5, 6, she says. People ask where I grew up, and I say 405 West Rosemary Street, the location of the original restaurant, an 18-seat diner. Tanya's side business, Tanya's Cookies, started out as a kitchen project when she got annoyed seeing an empty bakery case in the front of the restaurant. She decided to create a cookie that was as good as her grandmother's pecan pie. She tried and tried, getting on everyone's nerves in the kitchen while she made batch after batch. Finally, she experimented with a fateful new recipe. She was going to throw the cookies out when her grandmother tried one and told her she'd done it. Mildred gave Tanya permission to use the kitchen at the old location, a pink building across the street from the expanded restaurant the family built in 1999. She also offered her advice on packaging and suggested she take samples to the local gourmet store, Southern Season, which became her first customer. Tanya still works at the restaurant 9 months a year, stepping out to run her cookie company from October, when the NC State Fair opens, through Christmas. Tanya's Aunt Annette is called Niecy, from an old Southern phrase, knee baby, for the next to youngest child. She launched her cake mix business, Sweet Niecy, after customers at the restaurant told her they couldn't bake good cakes. At first, she made them for people, but it took a lot of time, so she came up with easy mixes they could use instead. Whenever her mother was baking, the children were always in the kitchen. We were waiting to lick the bowls, she says, laughing. Tanya calls her cousin Erica Council the Biscuit Whisperer. Erica says her influence in cooking came from both sides of her family. Her other grandmother, Geraldine Dortch, made food to raise money to support the civil rights movement. That story was super impactful for me, she adds. While the council daughters and granddaughters are resourceful about their businesses, they also inherited a creative streak. Besides Mildred's two cookbooks, both Erica and Anita have blogs, and Annette wrote a book about her family's history, The Recipe, Have a Seat at Our Table, in 2006. They all credit Mildred for that trait. While she called herself a dump cook who kept her dishes simple and traditional, she always had magazines around the house. When she hosted parties for her friends, the table was decorated just so. Annette says her younger sister Anita has the same touch. Spring gets the classy in Southern food, she says. Mildred always let the kids stay in the kitchen with her, Erica recalls, and she believed in the principle of pull as you climb, helping others to be successful. She was the embodiment of that, Erica says. If you have the ability to let someone in and help them, use what you have to do that. She and her husband donate some of the proceeds from their biscuit sales to help underprivileged kids in Atlanta learn about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. In this family, everything has come back to the business. Mildred was there every day until the last 2 years of her life. Tanya says she still expects to see her in the kitchen, in the chair where she would always sit, watching everything and talking to each friend who walked through the door. The wisdom and advice is what I miss, she adds. Now that Mildred is gone, her children and grandchildren have no doubt that the restaurant and the family food businesses will continue. That was what she wanted, a legacy that would go on long after she was gone. Tanya points out the Old Well, the most beloved landmark on the campus of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, a few blocks from the restaurant. My dream is to keep this place going as long as the Old Well stands on campus, she says. From the home and garden section, before and after, beautiful spaces inside and out. Naturally curious. See what happens when antiques-loving graphic designer Hannah Seabrook turns her attention to her first home in Louisville, Kentucky, by Zoe Gowan. It's the accessories that give a room its character, says homeowner Hannah Seabrook, who admits that when she's not running Gadabout Creative, she's scavenging Etsy, eBay, flea markets, and thrift stores for treasures that others often overlook. It takes patience, but collectors like Seabrook never have to decorate from scratch. I always start with a piece I love and then build around it, she says. Despite having ample time to amass her collection of furniture and accents, house hunting was a more urgent matter when Seabrook's husband, Nelson, landed a job in Louisville, Kentucky. Then the Charleston, South Carolina-based couple had only 3 weeks to find and buy their first home. They settled on a simple 1940s cottage with 180 square feet, lots of original architecture details, and an ugly kitchen. This house had the most potential, says Seabrook. Because of Nelson's career, the couple knew they would return to Charleston in 4 years, and this project felt doable. Their remodeling priorities included painting, reworking the den, and gutting the kitchen. Once construction was complete and daughter Edie arrived, Seabrook set out to create rooms that are inviting, balanced, and, best of all, convertible. "I move my furniture around all the time, so I pick things that can travel," she says. Steal her decorating ideas. Living room. English garden tidings. "I wanted to bring in the natural world as much as possible," says Seabrook, who paired a classic chintz pattern, Lee Jofa's Althea, used for both the curtains and the armchairs, with chalky green walls, Farrow and Ball's Vert de Terre, botanical-themed accessories like the prints around the fireplace and even a branch under the coffee table, complete the garden effect. Dining room. Slight distinction. "I wanted a jewel box feeling in here, so I went with pale blue walls and a tonal trim," says Seabrook about the flat-finished walls, Benjamin Moore's Woodlawn Blue, and slightly contrasting trim in Eggshell, Benjamin Moore's Wedgwood Gray. The difference in sheen and color is subtle, which helps pull together the room's mismatched antique furniture. Kitchen. Classic with a twist. Designer Olivia Brock, TorrenceMitchell.com, Seabrook's good friend, helped her with this cozy kitchen. The pair agreed that a farmhouse-inspired look best suited the 1940s home. Out went the faux stained glass window, black granite, and tile floor for timeless and surprisingly budget-friendly selections like beaded board walls, run vertically for height, mahogany countertops, and hardwood floors painted a deep green-gray. Benjamin Moore's Randolph Gray is an exterior arbor coat finish for durability. The pièce de résistance is the country French drop-leaf table found at a local antique store. "It's 4 inches too big for the space, but that didn't bother me at all," Seabrook explains. "Practically speaking, it's an investment piece that can just move with us to the next house." Library den. Lounging around, transform your cozy den into a library with floor-to-ceiling shelving built to show off your collection. Books and their bindings give layers to a room, says Seabrook, who added the shelves and painted the backs brown. Keeping Netflix viewing in mind, there's a television tucked into additional shelves facing the sofa. Master bedroom. All the dreamy details. Seabrook chose a clean-lined four-poster bed with white sheeting and curtains to allow her unique finds to be the stars. "I actually gasped when I saw the white ceramic lamps on Etsy," she says. Next came the big gilt metal floral mirrors. "I hunted for them specifically because I wanted something that was busy and a bit over the top to go with the lamps," she recalls. Blue-gray walls. Benjamin Moore's Mountain Mist make an ethereal backdrop for all the elaborate accents. Girls' room. Throwback nursery. There's a tidy practicality to daughter Edie's bedroom. Seabrook relied on classic, collected nursery pieces rather than anything modern to outfit the room. An antique walnut crib, muted pink walls, and a nostalgic but mature fabric, Schumacher's Cabanon Stripe. From the beauty and style section, picture of health, secrets to a good life, making waves. A Florida water skier shares her love of the sport with help from an app. At my first competition at age 6, I fell 6 times while trying to stand up on my skis, says former professional water skier Jennifer Leachman LaPointe. Despite a rocky start, the Windermere, Florida resident won more than 30 pro events in her career. She's also a 3-time world record holder and a member of the USA Water Ski and Wake Sports Foundation Hall of Fame. These days, it's less about competition for LaPointe. "It's about our group of people," she says. To foster that community, she launched a free app last year called Virtual Slalom Skiing, where you can submit videos of yourself skiing and learn your real-time world ranking. The app is also a way for LaPointe to continue skiing with her daughter, who lives in London. It's one of the only sports that's multi-generational and co-ed, she says. That's one reason I'm still addicted to it. Must have. Eye candy. Protect your vision with stylish shades designed for non-stop summer fun. 1. Le Specs Half Moon Magic Sunglasses, $69, Shop Bop. 2. Traveler Florentine Matte in Sunflower Plum Gradient Lenses, $68. Toms.com. Number 3. Ashtray in Cherry Bottle Green, $150. Raen.com. Number 4. Endless Summer Polarized Sunglasses in Turquoise and Gold, $25. Peepers.com. Number 5. Laney Sunglasses in Tortoise, $145. WarbyParker.com. House Call. To the Bone. Rheumatologist Shabnam A. Ali, MD, cracks the code on osteoporosis. What it is. Osteoporosis is a condition of reduced bone quantity and quality, which predisposes bones to fracture in normal daily life, says Dr. Ali. The risk factors. Osteoporosis is more common in women than men, she says. We usually start screening females after 65 or earlier if they have risk factors. The screening is essential, as osteoporosis is a silent disease that otherwise may not be revealed until there is a fracture. How to prevent it? Most women over 50 need a daily calcium supplement of 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams, she says. Vitamin D is important too because it helps the body absorb calcium. The 411. Before heading to the lake or beach for Memorial Day weekend, celebrate Don't Fry Day on May 24th. It's the National Council on Skin Cancer Prevention's annual reminder to lather up in sunscreen, stick to broad-spectrum products that have high SPFs and are labeled water-resistant, camp out in the shade, and wear sun-protective clothing. Aging gracefully. Gorgeous skin requires a smart routine and a few secret weapons by Patricia Weigel Shannon. Prevent. Pond's Rejuvenous Anti-Wrinkle Daily Moisturizer with Sunscreen. You've heard it before. The first step in an anti-aging regimen should be a daily SPF. This moisturizer works to reduce fine lines and wrinkles, too. Buy $10, Target.com. Plus, Youth Dose Eye Treatment. The tinted formula immediately brightens the under-eye area while also minimizing lines and puffiness over time. Apply twice a day, in the morning and before bed. Buy $39, Kiehl's.com. Restore. IT Cosmetics Confidence in a Neck Cream. Using an upward motion, apply this firming cream from the décolletage to the top of the neck, an often overlooked area. Buy $52, Ulta.com. Plus, Revitalift Derm Intensives, 10% pure vitamin C concentrate. Meet a miracle worker. Packed with rejuvenating vitamin C, this lightweight serum boosts radiance and reduces dark spots and fine lines. Buy $30, L'Oreal Paris USA.com. Defend SkinCeuticals CE Ferulic. Apply 4 to 5 drops to protect against daily environmental damage caused by free radicals. It increases skin brightness and firmness while hitting the brakes on future photo damage. Buy $166, dermstore.com. Thank you for listening to today's Southern Living Magazine. This has been Angela Odie saying goodbye from Al Radio, and have a great weekend.